There once was a man who said such wonderful things and did such amazing things that people followed him. And as they followed him, they heard about a kingdom like they had never experienced, a kingdom like nothing they had even ever heard of. They couldn't help it but to ask, "Tell us, what is the kingdom like? What is the kingdom of heaven like?" And this time, Jesus answered them. It's like a person who takes a seed, a mustard seed, the tiniest of seeds, and plants it in the ground. And the seed grows into a shrub, and the shrub into a tree. And the birds of the air come and make their nest there. These are the words of Jerome Berryman, a man who has written a curriculum called Godly Play. I've told you a bit about it, that he invites us to wonder together. When you're working with children, rather than wrapping up the story and saying, "Okay, here's what you're supposed to know now about God, take it home with you," Jerome invites us to wonder. I wonder if the person who planted the seed has a name. I wonder if the person was happy when the birds came to the tree. I wonder if the birds have names. I love this, that when you're exploring scripture with children, they're quick to say yes, and then often shout out their own name. I love it. There we say there are no right or wrong answers, but when kids see themselves in the story, in the kingdom of God, in the tree, it is a good day. What is the kingdom of God, this kingdom that has birds with names in it? What is it like? Well, it's something that's growing. And I was struck that this shrub growing to a tree doesn't need the birds. The kingdom of God is like that. It is growing. It is on the move in spite of us. I find some comfort knowing that God's kingdom is on the move and is not solely dependent on us. So the kingdom is on the move. And then we think about these birds coming. I think I like birds. I like birds, okay? But there's something about birds that drives me nuts. It's the fact that they build their nest and they keep coming back to the same spot every year. We just moved out of a house where the front porch has a very faithful bird family. And the nest is there every year. And I like those birds okay, except the fact that they build this nest in the same spot right above my front door means that you have to watch out so you don't get pooped on as you walk in your own house. I'm a little anti-birds in that moment. But birds are smart. They come to a good place. And this mustard seed turned into a shrub is a good place. It is a place where we are connected to God's love. God's unconditional love that nothing can separate us from. Neither life nor death. Nor angels, nor demons, nor what's happening now or what's going to happen in the future. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in this nest. In this place, we find forgiveness. In this place, we are called to be our best selves. It is a good place to nest. It is a good place. As I was working through the scriptures, I found myself feeling comforted by the familiarity of the reading, the letter to the Romans that Paul writes, that nothing can separate us from God's love. And then as I was working through it, I found that I moved from feeling comforted to agitated. To agitated because I kept thinking, we have this long list midst of hardships that feel like they get in the way. Life is hard. I remember the first time I heard this scripture read in church that I remember, and remember the sermon, was when a child from my child home, child church, my childhood church, who was autistic, had died by suicide. Life is hard. And so I felt agitated as I was reading the scripture, not agitated with God so much as agitated with our use of this scripture to make sense of hardship. When we have trials and sorrows, we try to make sense of it by saying, God must be needing to teach us something. Or we had to have a lesson, and so God had to give us this hard thing. That doesn't sit so well with me about who God is. I have a friend, Julia, who is a dear friend of mine. We've been in Bible study together for years. And when I'm struggling and wrestling with God about Scripture, she is my go-to lady. And so I was talking with her a couple weeks ago about this Scripture, about that Romans reading, about challenges in life. Julia has a daughter, she's 20, Lainey, who was born with a mitochondrial disease. She's fed through a tube. She's in a wheelchair or lying on the floor at home. When Julia had Lainey, Julia's idea of motherhood and of what Lainey's childhood was going to be like was turned upside down. Upside down. When I spoke with Julia about this passage, she said, "Zan, I do not believe that God handpicked me to be the mother of a child with disease. I don't think God chooses bad for God's people. But I do believe that God comforts me in the darkest of times and shows me paths towards the light if I'm willing to go that way." So when we think about the hardships of life, they are so present. Addiction, unemployment, mental health challenges, broken relationships. May we choose to use the words of the hymn we just sang together, "Lord, walk with me. In my trials, in my troubles, in my sorrow, Jesus, hold my hand." That's what the kingdom of God looks like. I was also wrestling with this idea of nothing being able to actually get in the way of God's love. I started thinking about those nests and those birds, and I started thinking that, yeah, we can't get in the way of God's love. There is always room in the kingdom. But I did think we can make it hard for other people to make their nest. We could take all the sticks. We could knock their nest out. We could have a really big nest of our own. We can make it hard for people to care for those in their nests, the health of the birds in their nests. Last summer, I went to a church camp with a bunch of kids, 3rd grade through 12th grade, on the west side of the state. There was a church called Messiah Church from Detroit that sent a busload of campers to camp for the very first time. I was spurred on and inspired by the camp's commitment to making camp affordable for kids who had never been to camp before. I was also spurred on by the kids coming to camp because they made it clear that week it was a big risk to come. It became very clear during the week that we were going to have to do hard, intentional work to make sure that camp was a positive experience for everyone. As we worked through the cultural clashes that were happening among the campers and the counselors that week, I read in the news that yet another black man, Charles Kinsey, was shot while caring for an autistic man who had wandered from his care facility. I remember sitting around the campfire that night with the black boys from Detroit and feeling so angry at the injustice, that people of color experience in our country. I, as a white woman, do not have to fear for my children's safety. I am not pulled over because of the color of my skin. I do not have to prove myself in order to be respected. I have become aware that my white privilege is a part of the problem. That day at the campfire, I had this sense that I wanted to understand more and figure out how to be part of a solution. So I've been doing a lot of reading about white privilege, being mindful of that, being mindful of how big my nest is. Because in the kingdom of God, there is room for everybody. All the birds of the air come. Dr. Tatum, Beverly Tatum, writes about race. She says it like this: white people, intentionally or unintentionally, do benefit from racism. A relevant question to ask is, what are white individuals doing to interrupt racism? Racism is so ingrained in the fabric of American institutions, it is easily self-perpetuating. All that is required to maintain it is business as usual. The task of interrupting racism is obviously not just that of whites alone. But the fact of white privilege means that whites have greater access to societal institutions in need of transformation. And then she quotes another parable of Jesus: to whom much is given, much is required. Our church is committed to having conversations about race. We just finished a time of adult education around race and equity. It is important work of the church and of the people of our church and the greater church to be having conversation. It's an important part of the kingdom of God. So in this shrub, turn to a tree where birds of the air come and make their nests. I invite you to hold on to that promise that God's kingdom is bigger and better than anything we can imagine. That it is on the move. I invite you to feel that power of the love that nothing can separate you from God's love. Come back to that tree. Come back to the nest. Be in that spot. And as you experience the hardships that come in life, walk hand in hand with Jesus. And let's make sure that our nests aren't too big, that we're looking out for each other, that we are a part of the words and the actions that Jesus taught us. May your kingdom come, the kingdom of heaven here on earth. Amen.